Protesters as they sat in jail is what echoed in my soul. Paul and Silas ended up in jail because they sought freedom for someone else. They cast out a spirit from a slave girl, which sounds like it would make everyone happy, but this particular spirit was one of divination, and it had allowed the girl's enslavers to make a whole lot of money. And when they realized that they no longer had the ability to benefit from her enslavement, when they realized that her freedom was going to affect their bottom line, they were furious. And they riled up a mob with false accusations, and Paul and Silas were stripped and beaten with wooden rods before being thrown into the deepest, darkest part of the prison with their feet clamped in stocks. I don't know about you, but if that had been me, I probably would have been praying too. But it would have been prayers of fear. God, I'm scared. What's going to happen to me? Or anger. Why would you let this happen, God, when all we're doing is sharing the good news of Jesus like you asked us to do? Or cries for rescue. Help! I'm not sure that I would have been in a singing mood. I would have had a heart for worship. But Paul and Silas did, even in the darkest part of the night. At midnight, scripture tells us, they were praying and singing hymns to God while the other prisoners were listening. I can picture them swaying to the rhythm of their song when suddenly the ground started swaying with them, as an earthquake shook the prison to its foundations, and all the doors immediately flew open and the chains of every prisoner fell off. When the jailer woke up to see the prison doors wide open, we'll think later about why the jailer was sleeping on the job, but when he woke up and saw those doors were wide open, he assumed what most of us would have assumed, that prisoners faced with an open door would have rushed out into the night. And because he knew that Roman law would not look kindly on a jailer who let all his prisoners go, he drew his sword to kill himself. At that moment, he heard a voice, Paul's voice, saying, "Stop! Don't kill yourself. We're all here." And that next moment, the jailer called for lights and ran to the dungeon and fell down, trembling, before Paul and Silas, asking, "What must I do to be saved?" He realized there was something different about these men. And they said, Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved, along with everyone in your household. And the jailer took them home and tended their wounds and fed them. And he and all his household heard their testimony about Jesus and were baptized. This is an incredible story. An earthquake that was the visible manifestation of God's power shaking the foundations of the world. Prisoners who stayed put even when they could escape. A jailer who realized that he was the one who wasn't really free, who needed to be rescued. A night that began in a prison, ending in a party. And all of this was possible only because of the good news that Christ sets us free. Paul and Silas show us that real freedom only comes through sharing that freedom with others. And that true freedom isn't so much about our circumstances, but about our faith. The freedom that Christ gives us means that even in the darkest of prisons, we can trust that freedom will come as we remain faithful in the waiting. They worshiped God in the midst of their midnight hour. When all hope seemed lost, they turned to God. You see, being centered in God and in God's vocation, God's calling of us, enables singing no matter our circumstances. In this jail cell in Philippi, Paul lived out the lesson that he would later write to the church there. Not that I was ever in need, because I learned how to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it is with a full stomach or empty, with plenty or little, for I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Those words take on a little bit of a deeper meaning when we realize that he is writing them to people in the town where he was thrown in jail and beaten and then freed. And that, my friends, is true freedom, the freedom that Christ offers. And we may not be in a prison cell physically, but we've all experienced what it feels like to be imprisoned in some way. Some of us are trapped in a broken relationship with little hope for healing. Some of us are being held captive by illness of our bodies or our minds, by addiction, guilt or shame, by anxiety, by bitterness and resentment, by our finances, by a job we don't like, by a loneliness, by sinful actions, our own or those of others. There are so many things in this world that trap us. But Christ offers us freedom, not just from those things, but in them. We may not experience a miraculous earthquake that breaks our chains and springs open locked doors, but we can experience the freedom that Paul and Silas found while they were still imprisoned. The freedom of knowing that God is with us, wherever we are, that God will work in and through us and through our circumstances. That even when we are shackled by heavy burdens, we can sing songs of praise to the one that has already and is always setting us free. I wonder, what is it that's imprisoning you today? What heavy burden keeps you in chains? It may be something in your life that you need to change, because sometimes our prisons are of our own making. It may be something that you have absolutely no power over. Whatever it is, God promises freedom. If not from it, then in it. That is the good news, the resurrection. We're given new life, and new life means freedom. It's time for those shackles. I invite you to think about where or how you need to experience God's freedom. If you'd like, you could write it on one of the chains, or just think about it. I'm going to allow a few moments for you to do that. And then I invite you to tear that shackle as an act of accepting that freedom that Christ offers, if you're ready to do so. Where is it that you need Christ's freedom? Good news. Christ sets us free. Thanks be to God. But here's the thing about that freedom. We're not set free just for our own freedom. If that was the case, Paul and Silas would have booked it out of that prison and back to the safety of Lydia's house before the jailer ever awoke. But they knew that our freedom isn't complete until everyone is free. Their freedom might have meant imprisonment or worse for that jailer. And so they risked their own physical freedom so that he and his entire household could know true freedom. Sometimes our freedom is granted, and we use it to free the very ones that were imprisoning us. Later in his life, Paul would write to the church in Galatia about the lessons he had learned about freedom. He wrote, "It is absolutely clear that God called you to a free life. Just make sure that you don't use this freedom as an excuse to do whatever you want and destroy your freedom. Rather, use your freedom to grow and serve one another in love. That's how freedom grows. For everything we know about God's word is somewhat summed up in a single sentence. Love others as you love yourself. That's an act of true freedom." Peter Marshall, who was a preacher in New York in the early part of the 20th century, put it this way. "May we think of freedom not as the right to do as we please, but as the opportunity to do what is right." For followers of Christ, that means that we use our freedom to ensure the freedom of others. And that brings us right back to the beginning of our sermon. Those who sat in jail singing freedom songs weren't doing it only for themselves. Rosa Parks said, "I would like to be remembered as a person who wanted to be free, so other people would also be free." You see, we are not just set free from, we are set free for. What is it that you have been set free for? How can you help someone else find freedom in their relationships from addiction, from hunger, from homelessness, from a life that seems void of meaning? How are you called to free others? Think of this in very practical ways. What can you do this very week that offers freedom to others? Take a moment to think about that. And if you're willing to commit to sharing your freedom with others, I invite you to tear your second shackle as a symbol of that commitment. Good news, friend. Christ sets us free so that we might share that freedom with others. Hallelujah. Amen. Will you pray with me? Chainbreaker, remove the chains from us and set us free. Free to follow you. Free to show and tell the world how much you love each one of us. Free to proclaim the good news to others that Christ sets us free.